Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
You've seen her on TV, Shark Tank, sitting there eyeballing these products. Everybody else, Barbara Corcoran. Good morning, Barbara. How are you?
Good morning. The way you gave that entry, it sounded so dangerous. You seeing her on TV.
Well, you know, God. The music to the Shark Tank.
Right.
That sounds dangerous.
Yeah. Not as good as the Jaws music, though, from the movie, I don't think.
But it's a little like it.
It is.
They didn't want to pay the price to actually rent the real music, so they made up their own notes, you know?
Might want to be like, or Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, too. It's kind of like that, too.
Shows,
yes, it is.
And that's all related to what you do.
Shows changed quite a bit since the first years when you were sitting behind piles of money. Now it seems more, I don't know, intimate.
Oh, I forgot about the piles of money. I'm thinking, what the heck is this guy talking
about? Like the early Shark Tank. Everyone had a little pile of money.
I love you for being an early Shark Tank watcher. That's when we needed all the help we could get, when they're calling us every week and saying it's probably going to be canceled. I mean, we're hanging on to every viewer and praying to God every night.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I've watched a lot of Shark Tank.
Piles of money were in the way, right?
It seems a little obnoxious, actually. Look at all the money I have.
But they got rid of that.
Yeah. They also got rid of the late night news desk that we used to be in, those power chairs with a big table in front of us. I don't know if you remember that, with the piles of money on top.
But everyone is, it's like being called onto the carpet, because people are actually coming in and standing on a carpet when they do their deal.
Yeah, you know, I never really thought about that. I'm going to use that line on the show in September when I go back to tape.
All right.
Yeah.
Think of me.
Walking through the tank and putting yourself on the carpet. One thing you don't hear about on Shark Tank is usually when that entrepreneur comes out on that carpet, they're expecting to get into their pitch right away, but they have to get camera angles and get sweat on their head and everything, so they have them stand there unaware, like, when can I start? And then they finally say, go. But meanwhile, in those few minutes, that poor entrepreneur is falling apart. I mean,
How long does that take?
I would say 2 to 3 minutes, but let me tell you, when you're the guy on the carpet, it feels like an eternity. We see these entrepreneurs, I actually make my decision whether I'm out right then and there based on their reaction, frankly.
Really?
Because some people can make eye contact, they're smiling at each shark, roving their eyes, and they start looking away from certain sharks, and they start looking down on their feet. I'm like, oh, God, this guy's never going to make it in business. He's falling apart already. You know?
Really? So you're right on their body language most, you know, out of the gate. That's fascinating.
But it's so truthful. You know, people don't know how to hide body language. I mean, I'm not a big body language reader, but that's pretty obviously lack of confidence.
But hold on.
Spinning in the wrong direction.
What if the guy isn't socially gifted, you know,
true,
with the social skills, but he's got a brilliant product?
Yeah.
That's a possibility, right, Barbara?
It's a possibility, and I see it all the time, but I have to tell you, that's not a product I invest in at all. Because I find if you don't have that right entrepreneur, and I know I've invested in 70-some-odd business to date on Shark Tank, it's all in the entrepreneur. It took me about 3 years to learn that one. I used to invest in product and service businesses where it really sounded great when I wasn't sure about the entrepreneur. Now, if I'm not sure about the entrepreneur, I'm just thinking when I'm sitting there, not what's great about this business, but what can I say to go out that I won't break their heart? That's really what I'm thinking the whole time.
Really? You moved to that? You moved that quickly to how do I get out of this without...
3 years.
Crushing them.
I don't think that's quick at all.
Yeah. See that? Because you're a woman, and women are, their IQs are about 3 times higher than men. They just haven't come out with the test to prove it.
You know
when somebody's like a loser standing there, they're never going to do it, or when they are.
But I've seen sharks say, I'm out, and give them the reason why they're out, and then come back in.
Yeah, but that's for the sake of the show. You know what that's about?
They're really,
really out. But they realize that the pitch is boring, and they're not going to use it on TV, and so they're trying to help the production team out by coming back in. I've done that myself. It's like a sideways move to shake things up, right?
What's your shorthand for a great pitch? What are like the top 2 or 3 things you look at? Or what, you know, can you shorthand it like
somebody
that?
Somebody who can make, definitely. Someone who makes great eye contact. I put a lot of weight in that. Some people have stage fright, but even someone who has stage fright will look you in the eye when they're answering a question. Someone who actually admits that they don't have an answer and says it.
Cool.
And then I would say I mean, I could name a lot, but coming right to my mind, definitely someone has fancy talk, terrible, the kiss of death. Someone who's sitting there and talking about returns, investment, margins. I mean, those are names we all now know, even people who don't have an interest in business.
Yeah.
But when they start doing those Harvard ABA type terms, I'm like, I'm going to lose my money here. And how do I know? Because I invested in businesses like that the first 3 years. I lost more money on the educated versus the uneducated. And then the winning card for me is someone who's deeply insecure inside themselves but has something to prove, some injury from their childhood, a parent who damned them to hell and back, who never had a shot in life because they're burning with desire, and there's no substitute for good old need of success and a need of success. When I smell that, I'm like a shark on it. Boom.
Is fear of failure a good enough driver for you?
Well, for me personally, it's been what's driven my whole life. I mean, I had the great advantage, wasn't a great advantage then, that of being the dunce in school that everybody made fun of just because I couldn't learn to read or write. So I was like, you know, I was like the big loser at school. And thank God, because you should see how I prepare for something. I'm an over-preparer. I'm so afraid of being publicly embarrassed that I will kill even my children not to be embarrassed if I had to. So that has driven me, that fear of failing publicly. Ugh, definitely. And now I know it's been a gift. I don't know if I would have succeeded without that background, honestly. It's good to have bad crap happen as a kid, whatever your crap is, and everybody's got it, and then to own it and grab it and prove it wrong like a devil, you know?
Are these all the things you talk about on your podcast, Business Unusual?
Of course. Of course. I talk about anything that anybody wants me to talk about that they're struggling with because, you know, I'm really good at that. I'm not good at a lot of stuff, especially marriage. Yes, my second husband, Bill. I don't know why he saved it. But this kind of stuff, I'm really good at. I don't give marital advice. I stay away from that one. Don't mimic me, please.
You know, we're bad at getting out on time.
I worked so hard.
You're great.
Yeah, all right, Barbara.
Yeah. But I'm really good at giving hardcore advice on how to get a raise or how to quit your job or how to really reinvent yourself, which everybody can do. You know, how to get yourself surrounded by the right people, how to pick yourself up from failure. You know, there's methodology that really helps. How to, you know, speak up, stand out in the boys club. I've been there. I've done it all. And so I just really focus on what's the key. And I try to jam it into 10 minutes flat.
So I am tuning in.
And use it.
Barbara, come back and spend more time with us when you can, okay?
Forget about it. I'm never coming back.
Why do we always get that answer from you people? I'm never coming back.
Because I never like guys with names that start with B.
Talk to me, Barbara. Come and talk to me.
You know what, Barbara?
I'll come talk to you.
You've never met us. I would win you over in a heartbeat. I would stare at you, good eye contact.
You'd be a plain dealer. Yeah. You'd admit that you don't know anything. And you're deeply insecure.
I can tell I don't like you already. Forget about it. Don't work on it.
I'm pretty transparent, aren't I? Barbara,
she got out quickly.
Thanks.
You know how to get out.
Thanks for the time.